So something has taken place in his life. That would be what I call an experience of the full power of the cross. One aspect of it being applied. So basically, the power of the cross, the word logizomai and reckoning, is an exchange. You on the cross, Christ in you. Now remember, Romans is the book where Paul emphasizes logizomai all the way through. And in the same book of Romans, chapter 12, where he's reaching his conclusion, he tells us in verse 1, Paul begins to go into the practical application in verse 1. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, when that takes place, the second one does. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, in verse 1, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Question, how do we present our bodies? Is it by just posturing in prayer? We don't have all the answers. But I believe one aspect of the answer is what this minister experienced. Whereas he came to God, he began to realize that all that he is belongs to God. And all his old self and old man, remember the Bible talks about his old man, was crucified on the cross. And he considers his eyes the eyes of the Lord, his ears the ears of the Lord. His mouth, the mouth of the Lord. His hands, the hands of the Lord. He presented his body as a living sacrifice to God. Constantly. And as you keep presenting it to the Lord will see fit and says, yes, I delight to manifest myself through that physical temple, which is your body. The body of the Holy Spirit. Then I believe is an aspect of tapping upon the transaction and the power of the cross. Now, another person has it this way, and this is by John Osteen. John Osteen talked about this minister friend of his, and when he was ministering, and he was struggling to, he reached a plateau in his ministry, and he wanted to go further. It looks like everything he did just doesn't get him higher. So during one of the ministry times, he saw Jesus. And he was standing at this point, like this point here, and Jesus was standing about 10 feet away in front of him. And then there was the rest of the congregation. Then he says Jesus did something interesting. Jesus began to step back, and step back, and step back. And then finally, Jesus reached a point where he was standing, and Jesus put his leg into his leg, and then he stepped right in, and Jesus was right inside him. And he felt, he knew it mentally, that his body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But for the first time, he experienced it spiritually, and he felt Jesus in him, and he says, the healing meeting was the greatest healing meeting he has ever had. Because when he began to work and do things, he began to realize that when he touched people, it was Jesus' hand touching them, not his. And his, it was like Jesus, like he felt, this was his description. He felt like he was the glove and Jesus was wearing the glove. And that's Romans chapter 12, verse 1, in an experiential way. And so in a sense, when Romans 6, verse 11 takes place, when you reckon yourself dead, how dead can you be? What does a dead person do? Play dead. Right? They tell you that, no, if a big bear come along and attacks you, because there are not many bears in the bushlands here, Let's change the story, right? When a big kangaroo comes to you, right? So when a big bear comes to you, that because it's stronger than you are, then you have to play dead. So the bear will sort of pull you around and then leave you alone, right? The only thing is that that's naturally true. But the next time the big bear comes to you, try this first. Look at the bear eyeball to eyeball, like David. And then say, but because you're not in the Old Testament, so you say, in the name of Jesus, go away. Or something like that. And then if that doesn't work, then play dead. Say, why that doesn't work? Because sometimes our faith is not on the spiritual level yet, it's only in the mental level. So you may have to do it, you may have to meet about 20 bears before it really works. If you're still alive by that time. So, but do the spiritual first and then, go for the natural. But we're talking about this Jesus using us like a glove. And it's different. It is not like being a zombie, And you're walking. Jesus say, walk. Turn right. It's not like being a zombie, right? We still have all our faculties. We still have emotions and everything. It's that there are certain stages where you sense a yieldedness to God more than before. And let me tell you, those are times when you need it most. Think about the times when you really need a breakthrough. You know what is the most important thing? Die. Right. The most important message you need to hear. Die. Right. Just die first. You know, once you die to everything of yourself, you wouldn't even care whether it's a breakthrough, right? Dead men don't care anything. You're dead.
Right.
You know, you say, why must I die first? Because if you don't die, you will be the biggest blockage to God bringing the breakthrough. Believe me. So the first thing to do is die first. Or if you're praying for someone who that someone really needs a breakthrough, maybe it's a sickness, maybe it's a loved one, maybe it's someone you know that you really want the healing to come forth, and so much of your emotions are involved. First thing to do, die. Because if you don't die, your emotions will get in the way. Definitely will get in the way. That is why, brethren, it is harder to hear from God about the things you're too emotionally attached to than to hear about from God on things that you are detached from. Because your own thoughts are being affected by your positive or negative attitudes anyway. And they keep slipping through when God is trying to work. And they cloud what God is trying to speak. So the most important thing to do in a Christian life at all points, die. And when you reach a high point, and God has done something wonderful in your life, you just raised 20 people from the dead. What's the most important thing to do? Die. Not physically. Because if you don't, you become proud. And then you start losing the power that God was able to manifest in your life. First thing is die to self. Until you're completely dead. And then you begin to yield to God the most gracious prayer He has prayed. Father, not my will, but yours be done. And as you surrender your will to Him, and then you realize, excuse me, sometimes my illustrations are a bit funny because they just come from whatever thing, right? So, they come from whatever I have, right? I don't have that much experience in a lot of natural things. Never really live a sinful life. I've always been a goody-goody guy. And you remember when a Vulcan is trying to mind melt with you? Some of you say, what is a Vulcan, right? A Vulcan is the guy with the sharp ears, right? Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's not a real character, right? So, Spock, or whoever his name is, He comes to you and say, my mind to your mind, my thoughts to your thoughts. You remember? Okay. So, now, I'm not asking you to be Vulcans, but in a sense, when you come to God and you present Romans 12 verse 1 to Him, your body is living sacrifice, you are actually saying, whatever things I have to the cross of Calvary. Whatever, every thought that is against Christ, you bring it, nail it to the cross. Your own desires, your own emotions, you take it, you nail it to the cross. And everything you take and you put it to the cross. And whatever is of God, His mind to yours. So that His thoughts begin to flow in you. His desires begin to flow in you. His emotions begin to flow in you. And is Jesus coming alive in you? Your hands become the hands of Jesus. Your eyes become the eyes of Jesus. Your mind becomes the mind of Jesus. Your heart becomes the heart of Jesus. Your heartbeat beats with the heartbeat of God. And you need to retain that experience, the longer, the better. And that's why we need times of waiting on God, which we'll touch on the next week. The Hebrew word for waiting on God is an interesting word. You need times of waiting on God. And as you wait on God in that area, you will definitely have an experiential aspect of what logizomai means. As you come to a close, just relax where you are. Just close your eyes for a moment. If you need to take care of your children, of course, keep them open with one eye. But just relax, close your eyes for a moment. And just see, can I have the music on? Thank you. And play This Is My Desire. And just come to Jesus and begin to see yourself crucified on the cross. All your desires, all of yourself, reckon yourself dead. Part of it is a mental process, but the mental process is only like the beginning part, the stirring to bring your will in. It's more, it's a process of the will too, of the heart and of the spirit. See yourself crucified on the cross. Everything of yourself nailed to the cross. You are worth nothing, you are nothing because you are dead in Christ. Like Paul, he speaks words like all his learning and all his great education, he considered them as rubbish and dung because he has taken them and nailed them on the cross. They're all worthless. Your titles, your reputation, and everything. And remember, sometimes God permits persecution or difficulties in your life to check whether you're still alive. Dead people do not react to persecution. Dead people do not react to evil speaking against them. Dead people have no reaction. So if you have a reaction, it shows you haven't experienced this power of the cross yet. You're too much alive. And we need to see ourselves crucified with Christ on the cross. Now, what we are doing for a few minutes, you have to do every day in your life. Take time to do that. And then begin to see Christ in you. Your hands become Christ's hands. Your mind become Christ's mind. Begin to feel Christ in you. The experience of Christ in you. And an exchange is taking place. Your physical body is no more yours. You were bought with a price. Your eyes, your hands, your mind, your physical body does not belong to you.